This is Bulls Beat on Bulls Unlimited. Bulls Beat is your stop for exclusive interviews, highlights, and the very latest on all sports at the University of South Florida. With today's show, here's your host, Derek Sharp.
Well, we could have done a show for you on the Saturday alone. In fact, you'll hear a lot of a wonderful Saturday, 4-0 Saturday, where, of course, the men's basketball team wrapped up the conference championship. The women won on a last-second shot. Baseball took a thriller in Orlando against UCF, and softball took down Louisville for the second time this weekend. We'll get to all of that. Unfortunately, baseball did win the War on I-4 series. However, the two victories were pretty much as close as you can have, including a 1-0 defeat on Sunday. But some good stuff to highlight, especially from the pitching staff and the losses for the Bulls. We'll do all that, and we'll tell you all of what went down with softball, which plays again today. I'll be headed to Dallas, or in Dallas, by the time softball plays, but they'll be going for, as I mentioned, some nice round numbers this weekend. A big 1,500th victory in program history today. Women's tennis continues to roll along. What a Saturday it was. In fact, it was a long day. If you hung around after the women's basketball game or came out to the Yuengling Center when you heard that the men's basketball team was coming home, and a lot of people there to greet them, Amir Abdulrahim spoke to a very enthusiastic crowd, loved the videos that are put out, including him saying, you know, let's not settle for this. The work is not done, but absolutely, we're going to celebrate the victory from Saturday that clinched it all. And we will play some highlights here in a second. We'll also tell you about the women's tennis team on a little bit of a run, including a thrilling win on Sunday. So just what everybody predicted, right, with the women's basketball teams that were coming in from the Conference USA, the Bulls seemed to be the clear best team to win the league, and preseason polls all reflected that. Meanwhile, with your Final Four team from last year, your NIT finalist from last year, and even a CBI finalist, that'd be Charlotte, coming in to the league, could not expect the Bulls to finish anywhere near the top half. Maybe they were picked to finish ninth, which seemed about right. Well, the women's basketball team is not in first place. We'll get more of what their situation is later on, but as you know, the men wrapped it up. There can be no tying things with Charlotte. The Bulls were going to have to lose out. We never wanted to put it that way, but that was what was going to have to happen for them not to be the conference champs. But why not go ahead and close it off against the only team that could have headbreakers at all against you, and that would be the Charlotte 49ers. And the Bulls did so in extremely impressive fashion before a Halton Arena crowd that was doing all it could to try and halt the Bulls, but it did not work out that way. And I think you cannot undersell that point. Frankly, this would have been a game where, you know, you get the ranking, you're starting to get the national love, you're campaigning for at-larges in the NCAA tournament, and here comes a Charlotte team that all it can remember is, first of all, it's a good team. Secondly, they were ahead by 17 in your place and blew it, and man, do they want to get you back. And this crowd reflected all that, and the Bulls simply executed in that environment. It was a back-and-forth first half. No team had a huge lead. In fact, the 49ers jumped ahead 7-2, but the Bulls would end up with a 5-point lead. And definitely wanted to include some of the home team's baskets because it reveals just how into it the crowd was. And again, the Bulls were up for the challenge.
Here's Graves with two on the shot clock. He elevates it to 15-footer. Good.
Oh, man.
Well, that's what he likes. He's not a big three-point shooter. He likes to shoot the mid-range jumper off the bounce.
Niners up 9-4.
They're shooting 67% in the early going. Here's a left side three by Jose Placer. Got it! Around the cylinder and in. A screen by Pryor to get him free, and Jose Placer drains it from long range. Here's Graves around three guys. Go to the basket. Blocked down low by Stroud. He got some. Kobe Knox got some. Joey got some. Everybody got some of that one.
Oh, my goodness. What a block by Brandon Stroud.
Substitution for the 49ers as Graves fires a three in the corner. That's good. I just said he doesn't make many threes, just his 20th of the year, and he makes one right on cue.
Well, Charlotte off to a great start, but leading on only 12-7. USF hanging in there the best they can, but they need to keep scoring on possessions to stay even.
Youngblood with a three off the pass from Cason Pryor, and without hesitation, Chris Youngblood knocks down the triple. It's 12-10 Charlotte. Knocked all the way out near midcourt, picked up by Patterson. He's going to come right at Youngblood. He throws a floater that's short, and a long rebound into the hands of Stroud. Here come the Bulls with a two-on-two. Pryor, Euro steps his way to the basket, and a reverse layup by Cason Pryor. Wow, what a move that was, and he's tied it at 12.
I think that's the coolest move that Mr. Pryor has done all season long. That's an ESPN highlight.
Milicic and Youngblood took it away on the entry pass. He's going to go right through Graves, and this is going to be a block against Charlotte, and this place is going to explode. Chris Youngblood looked like a running back hitting the hole, and Graves was the inside linebacker, and he got pancaked. Into the paint, pushed off a little bit, now gets it to Pryor. Ball fake, another ball fake. He got it blocked and off of Pryor's back and out of bounds to go by Charlotte. Kaysen drives it into the paint, stops. Now he's going to turn and fire from 10 feet. Good. Kaysen Pryor with a turnaround jump shot, and he's got four.
Kaysen Pryor is getting back his offensive mojo. He's already been very impressive.
Milicic pushes off to get free, and he catches it outside the arc. He drifts left side. He's going to step into a long three-point attempt that's good. Igor Milicic, who shoots 36% from distance, is 2-for-2 today.
Yep, Charlotte hurting the Bulls from long range. Now 3-of-7 from the three-point line.
Blossaire barking out orders. Shot clock down to 13. He's near midcourt. Here comes Pryor to set a screen. Drifts right, back to Pryor at the top. He's going to step into a long three. Kaysen Pryor, and he knew as soon as that one left his hand that it was in.
Kaysen Pryor has a look in his eye this afternoon. He's getting more involved offensively, and he is off to a great start with 7 points in this game.
He only played 14 minutes in the first game and had 2 points and two rebounds. I think he wants a piece of the Niners today.
OKP did a lot. You heard his shot got blocked. Well, he'd get a strange bit of twisted revenge in the second half that, yeah, we'll play the call of for you. But you heard his answer back there. And speaking of answers, the end of the half, let's dial up Selton Miguel. Remember how Chris Youngblood took a while to get going in the last game? He made some shots in here, too. Let's be clear about that, but we're saving some of his splashdowns for the second half. It was the guy who is 1-2 with him atop the scoring charts on the team, Selton Miguel, really creating some bridge momentum.
Blossaire into the corner to Youngblood, shot clock at 14. One-handed pass to the top. They swing it around to Miguel. Jab step. He's going to drive it in against Milicic to the basket off the window and in, and he took it right at the teeth of the defense.
Really good look there against that trap, a 27-25 lead.
Selton's got 4 points and two rebounds. Bulls lead by two. Here's Milicic on the right wing. Cross-court pass. Reber catches, launches a three in the corner. That's good. Dean Reber, he can do that. 13th make of the season from beyond the arc.
Now Charlotte back in the lead, 28-27. This game is going back and forth, back and forth.
Walker right wing. Youngblood at the top. Swings it around to Knox. Now to Selton Miguel, short corner. He's working on Threadgill, puts up a floater right over him and rolls it in. Selton Miguel wanted a call on top of that but didn't get it. The Bulls back in front, 29-28. Corey Walker's going to come up, set a high screen, rolls to the basket. One-handed pass to Selton Miguel. Shot clock down to six. Spin move, turnaround, fadeaway, 16-footer, good. Oh, number one's caught fire.
That's the last 6 points in a row for Selton Miguel. He's given the Bulls a 31-28 lead on that turnaround jumper.
Now he fights through a screen. Patterson into the painted area. His runner misses, partially deflected by the Bulls. Selton Miguel gets the rebound. Here comes USF in transition. Selton going right. Selton still going right. Selton off the window. Didn't go. Tip by USF. It rolls in. Corey Walker got it.
Corey Walker with a brilliant tip in off a Selton Miguel attempted layup. And Corey Walker, Johnny on the spot there. He's there to tip it back in. The Bulls have their largest lead at 5, 33-28.
And again, I wanted to include some of the opponents' highlights to show you, A, how the crowd was a factor, and B, how the Bulls had an answer right back for it almost every single time. Big to end the half on a run like that and take a 5-point lead, but you knew it wasn't going to be easy. Bulls did jump ahead by 10 quickly with a long-range jumper by Youngblood and a three by Kaysen Pryor, had one of his best offensive showings in quite some time. Let's get to some great second-half highlights, including the Bulls opening up a big old lead.
Largest lead of the game for the Bulls at 13. Reed trying to stay in front of Graves. He cannot. He gets to the baseline, dropped it. Now he's on the floor. He throws it back in. Reed scoops it up. Here comes USF. Reed's turning on the Jets. Around two guys. Lefty layup didn't go. Put back by Kobe Knox. Oh, my goodness. He came flying in over everybody and slammed it home. What a play by Knox.
Jaden Reed went down and drove inside and tried to throw it up there with a spin. There was Kobe Knox coming out of outer space for the dunk.
That's our bubble down cleanest play of the second half for sure. No contest. Here's Charlotte the other way. Patterson drives it down the lane. He throws a lefty scoop shot that misses. Pryor gets the rebound. Outlets to Selton Miguel. Bulls by 15. Right side pass in the corner. It goes. Reed wide open for three. Missed it. Offensive rebound by Knox. Put back He went around. The defender got the rebound, contorts his body, and the Bulls have a 17-point lead after the 7-0 run.
Made it look really easy. The ball came right to Kobe Knox. A couple of Charlotte players fell down, and Kobe Knox laid it in with the greatest of ease.
Here's JR, gets it to Brandon Stroud. Brandon, lefty, hands it off to Cason Pryor. They sag off of him, runs into Jackson, stops on a dime, steps back, 15-footer. Cason nice. Pryor, good, and he got fouled on top of that.
How about that? How about that move? How about that move? Backing your man in, stepping back, hitting the shot, drawing the foul. Cason Pryor is having a wonderful offensive game this afternoon.
And that's Dyshawn Jackson's third foul, Joey, as he tried to close on Pryor at the 15-foot mark. He's taken some threes this year, doesn't make very many. Threadgill with eight on the shot clock. He's got Stroud on him. Backdoor cut to Milicic, and he gets the dunk. Well, they run that variation of the Princeton offense, and it's a lot of backdoor cuts, and the Bulls have done a good job today denying that play, but not that time.
Yep, very pretty play by Charlotte. USF now leads by 13, 62-49.
Blossair, bounce pass to Brandon Stroud right in the center of the floor. Couple dribbles, gets it off to Selton. He's going to drive it into the paint, goes against Jackson off the window. The runner is good. Selton Miguel, as Selton Miguel does,
very aggressive going to the basket. Puts it off the glass, Bulls up by 15.
Patterson had it taken away. Cason Pryor poked at it, and the Bulls get the steal with 8 minutes left to go in this game.
The Bulls will slow the pace just down ever so slightly. Run a little clock, Jose Placer at the front.
10th turnover by the 49ers in this one. Here's Youngblood, one dribble, gets it off to Placer, now to Selton. Shot clock at 13, he goes right, he's still going right. He kicks it in the corner, Youngblood catches, fires a three, good! He touched nothing but the bottom of the net. Chris Youngblood and the Bulls lead by 18, 67-49.
When the Bulls are sharing the ball, it is a thing of beauty, I'm telling you. Chris Youngblood winds up with a great pass from Selton Miguel, buries a three-pointer. Bulls are playing great.
I'd have to agree with that one, Joey. And let's take it home with, first of all, that revenge moment by Pryor on their seven-footer that I alluded to earlier. And then Jim Lighthall getting to call a regular season title, something that no broadcaster has done. And pretty much it's been him for the last half of the existence of the men's basketball program.
Long three by Milicic that hits the front rim, and Pryor had the rebound, got knocked out of his hands. Reverb, his putback misses, and Pryor has the rebound. Three guys around him. He's trying to get free. He finally throws it off of the face of a Charlotte player into the hands of Reverb, and it's a layup. And he's just trying to throw it off of somebody and have it go out of bounds, and Milicic took it right smack in the kisser.
Well, the crowd is all over Cason Pryor for what they think is a blatant ball to the head move.
Patterson, he's going to launch a three, and that rattles out. Pryor gets the rebound, and they will let the Bulls count it out. They're going to have to get it across midcourt, of course. And now the Bulls will hold it. 76-61, there's the horn for the first time in 53 years of men's basketball at the University of South Florida. The Bulls have claimed a regular season championship. They take down Charlotte. They take down the American. They're the top seed in the AAC tournament coming up in a couple of weeks. Joey, how sweet it is. We waited a long time.
If you'll allow me to quote one of my favorite musicians of all time, Freddie Mercury, we are the champions.
He's had some NCAA tournament games to call, namely from 2012, but that's my buddy right there for a long time, and it's pretty cool to hear Jim Lighthall get to make that call. And Joey Johnson, those guys do such a phenomenal job, and I'm so proud that we've got them here on Bulls Unlimited to take you through this journey. 14 wins in a row now adds one to the program new record, and of course, Bulls can't be caught with just two games to go in conference play. Amir Abdur-Rahim, I was going to say sat down with the guys, but he's the real deal, y'all, not just about his basketball coaching knowledge that you all get to see and what he does with the student body going around and buying them Starbucks. I think he's got to probably put a curb on that for his own sake. But if you noticed on the ESPN Plus replay, our guys were not on the court. They were kind of up back in the stands, and sometimes some coaches would go, no, that's out of my... No, he all but bent over backwards to provide the interview. And if you want to hear all of what he had to say, it's up on our podcast page now. Speaking of up, winning by double figures on the road, as the Bulls did, 75-61, does move you up in the net rankings into the top 80 for the first time, 79 specifically. Boy, it was interesting to hear even more of the national figures speak about the Bulls in terms of the NCAA tournament and how those that would have not given them any chance for an at-large or almost looking at them as they're in kind of thing. We're right in the middle. There's still two games to go, and you have to win them. And so, yeah, Tuesday night, you just heard the coach mention it, against Tulane, a team that was 3-3 after beating Memphis, which, by the way, did you see last night, was down big at the half and merely outscored UAB 60-26. Started the second half ahead 46-9, so they're ahead, along with SMU, by the way, of the Bulls, according to the computers. That is just going to be a lot of fun stuff to keep an eye on as we come down to the stretch, but got to beat Tulane first. As I mentioned, they were 3-3 in the conference. They are now 4-12. However, a lot of close games. They got beat by FAU just by 6 on the road. Before that, just by 4 against North Texas. They haven't been an easy out, in other words. Should be an entertaining one at the YC. Well, the home finale for the men is Tuesday night at home. At the same time, I'm in Dallas for the women's basketball game against SMU. Remember, that game will be on the Strike, 102.5 HD2. And if you want to hear how Saturday's game ended and some interesting new information that has come to our attention about the Bulls' possible seeding, we told you that they are not going to be possibly in the fourth bye spot. Well, that could have changed. Tune in elsewhere here on the podcast page for that, along with a recap of Monday's outstanding softball.